You're listening to the Eyes on Isles podcast with Matt O'Leary and Mitch Anderson.
Welcome to Eyes on Isles, episode number 4. It's going to be a good show. It's going to be a good show this week, Matt. We've got a guest. We've got stuff to talk about. But more importantly, hockey is happening right now. There's hockey. There's Islanders hockey right now. I can't see it because the stream doesn't work for some reason, but it's happening.
Mitch, I have to tell you, yeah. I felt so good to be on the Eyes on Isles Twitter, tweeting out GIFs. I am back in full force, baby. Let's go.
Mid-season form, Matt, is amazing. I'm so happy. I'm so giddy. The season's starting. My wife isn't too pleased, but she knows what she's got. She knows what she got herself into.
No, we're going to be in the doghouse here for a little while, Mitch.
It's not going to be good for us, but you know what? We do it because we love it. We love it. That's why. Okay, so today on the show, I said we're having a guest. We'll get to that a bit later. We're bringing on Rob from Isles Blog. We'll give you his Twitter handle so you can give him a follow. It was an interesting conversation to have with him. We'll get to that in a second. First, Matt, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. I think we summed it up from the first couple seconds of the intro there. We are both happy that hockey is back. I am good, and I'm excited to have another conversation, just hang out and talk some Isles hockey here.
Awesome. Okay, first thing we want to get to, kind of, we got three topics. I want to deal with that second one first. I'm going to flip the running order live here. Just throw you on your feet. Not really. You saw the running order like days ago. You wrote something about Brock Nelson. And we talked about Brock Nelson with Rob a bit just before this, and I had an itching for talking about some Brockin. It doesn't really rhyme. Itching and Brock doesn't rhyme at all.
That was a stretch.
It was a far stretch. You wrote that what's the over-under on him scoring 45 points this year? I want to get your take on it, and then I'll give you mine, unsolicited, even though you're not asking for it. You're going to get it anyways. And let's see what we can suss out from here. So over under 45 points, Brock Nelson.
Okay. As I was writing it, I was going back and forth. Like how I do it, if none of you have read my over unders yet, which you should, I present the case for the over, how that could happen. And then I present the case for the under, and then I make my final decision. So as I was doing the over, I was like, okay, yeah, I could see this. And I'm like typing out, you know, reasons why it might not happen. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm kind of see that too. So then I'm sitting there, and I'm just like, I you know what? That actually might be the perfect thing for a Brock Nelson blog. Because you don't know what you're going to get from him. Yeah, but anyway, I ended up taking the over, but only slightly. I think he's going to be between 46 and 48 points.
Okay, that's fair. I'm feeling over on Brock as well, just because it seems like he's making progression every year. He's averaging 42.5 points a game. A year. Wow. The Brock Nelson show over here. I want to take the under just because I'm not sure who he's going to be playing with. And I think he's going to be playing center. We talked about this with Rob, and I don't necessarily disagree with him, that Brock Nelson's probably going to be playing center. I just don't see him as a center. He's not a two-way player, and he's going to be playing in a two-way role. He's not playing first-line center, clearly. He's playing second- to third-line center. That should be a two-way role. It used to belong to a two-way player in Franz Nielsen. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have that capacity, unless for some reason Doug Wake can like shake it out of him and say, "Come on, Brock Nelson." Maybe. Like, I don't know if that's what it's going to be, but if that's what it's going to take. And if so, then where was Jack Capuano all these years?
No,
trying
you
to
would
give him
think
the shakedown.
Exactly. You would think Capuano would get the grinder out of Brock Nelson, but we both agree on the over.
Yeah.
But I definitely see him as starting the year as the second line center just to take the pressure off of Barzal, because I don't know if you necessarily want to throw him out there and say, hey, you're a top six forward on day one, you know, because he was pretty overwhelmed last year.
Just a little bit.
I mean, he only played the puck while still in the box, which was, like, I don't know.
Even you know not to do that.
Yeah. I'm a bender and I know not to do that. But
yeah, exactly. unbelievable.
Yeah, but I think it would be extremely difficult for him not to put up 45 points because I really see him playing a lot of time with Josh Hosang and even Josh Bailey, who obviously we're a lot higher on Hosang, but Mitch is the self-proclaimed Bailey lover here.
Fanboy.
They are both playmakers, both Bailey and Hosang.
That's
so
right.
So you would figure that they would be setting Brock up to display that wonderful wrist shot that he does have.
Mm-hmm.
But we also know that he likes to go to sleep for long periods of time into his into hibernation mode. You know what? Watching him skate sometimes, this, I know we're gearing off road a little bit here, but you know, like when you're playing NHL and your controller dies and your player just kind of like freezes.
Skates into the boards?
Yeah, that's what I picture every time I see Brock Nelson skating. It's just my controller dying and then like the player like freezing and just gliding along.
And then comes back to life and it realizes it has like 99 wrist shot accuracy and power. And boom, there it is. Oh, I had that all along. Wowee. Like, he's so frustrating as a player just because he has that pure goal scoring talent, but underused ability to move around the ice. And again, maybe that changes this year. I hope so. And again, like you said, I think it's going to be a case of who he plays with. And if he plays with either of those two playmakers who can get him the puck, I think he can finish. We'll see. Let's move on to something a little bit more uplifting. Maybe. We'll see. Are the Islanders a playoff team? Now, I say this with a caveat. And the caveat, maybe not a caveat, but a backstory. The backstory is, you've seen it obviously, that the Hockey News, I have the magazine. I wanted to make sure that the magazine was going to be the same as what it was online, and sure enough it was. They ranked the Islanders to finish 7th in the Metropolitan Division, clearly missing the playoffs. Do you say yay or nay to that?
Mitch, before I get into yay or nay.
Okay.
What? Because you're my token Canadian. You're the only person I know who's from Canada.
You're welcome, mate.
What does the Canada media have against the New York Islanders? Because it just seems like every time they're either overlooked or they're trying to pry a player, a.k.a. John Tavares, away from the Islanders. Is there some sort of like secret vendetta against them that I just don't know about?
It's a secret vendetta against anything south of the 49th parallel. Is it the 49th parallel? I'm going to say it is, even though I don't think that's the one. Either way, anything in the States, we don't like it because it's not us. We take clear joy out of thinking the game is ours and ours alone, which it is not by any stretch of the imagination. It belongs to the population, to the world of hockey, and not just the Canadian hockey. Anyway, so whenever it's something that we can essentially import back because we got a team in Quebec. We don't have a team. We have an arena waiting for a team in Quebec. And hey, the Islanders don't have anywhere to play. Well, guess what, mon ami? We have somewhere for you to go. Guess what? Poutine, come on. Why not? And I think that's really, it's a sense of resentment from the Canadian media, even though they won't say that at all. It's a sense of a resentment and miseducation where they don't understand the New York Islanders by any stretch of the imagination, but they assume they do because they know hockey. I can skate since I was 3, thus I know everything about hockey. That's how Canadians operate.
Okay, well, thank you for clearing that up because
you're welcome.
I've gotten any of that, yes. And
I'll send you some ketchup chips. God, I love ketchup chips.
Is that a real Canada thing?
Heck
that
yeah, buddy.
Okay.
Oh, buddy, I'm gonna bring you some ketchup chips. Oh my God, they're so good. It's my favorite thing to eat. My wife throws up whenever I eat them, but I love them.
Amazing! You learn something new every day.
That's right.
The Eyes on Isles podcast, it teaches you more than just hockey.
That's our tagline forever.
That is going to be our tagline. But to get back on track here,
yes,
I do think the Islanders are a playoff team, and that was our roundtable discussion this week, is where do you think the Islanders finish in the Metro? And I am saying 5th, but potential for 4th.
Okay. I'm kind of on the same wavelength here. I just want to see what your potential for 4th relies on. I know what mine is. I want to see what yours happens to be. Or how about I'm getting you to speak, and I'm just kind of like, oh, yeah, of course, I agree. You're getting all the speaking points here. I'll let you do it anyways. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I think Pittsburgh's 1, Columbus 2, Washington 3, Rangers 4, yeah. And then Islanders 5. But I would say I wouldn't be shocked if the Islanders finished above the Rangers. I just think on paper before the season right now, I still have the Rangers a little bit higher than the Islanders, as much as it may pain us to say.
Yeah, my initial impressions are exactly the same, that the 1-2-3-4 is kind of the same way. And my focus is strictly on the New York Rangers and specifically on Henrik Lundqvist. Remember, he finished with a 9.1 save percentage last year, or 0.91 save percentage last year. That's the lowest he's ever had in his career, ever. The closest he got to that was his second year in the league, where he posted a 0.917 save percentage. Something wasn't right with Hank last year. He even had a 2.71 goals against average, his highest ever in his career. The closest he got to that was the year previous at a 2.48. Something's not right with Hank, or Henrik, or King, or whatever the heck they want to call him out in Manhattan. I don't give a crap. Something's not right there. So, and they got rid, they being the Rangers, got rid of the backup, Antti Raanta. Too many aunties. Got my own auntie, these aunties that I have to deal with. Unbelievable, Matt. Like, this is too much for me.
Too many aunties.
Too many
not
aunties.
Not enough uncles.
And he carried essentially the goaltending load with, I'm going to quote it without remembering it. It's a 922 save percentage and a 226 goals against average in 30 starts. He's gone now.
He's in Arizona.
That's right. So who do they have if not for Hank? Sure, I know they picked someone up. I don't know who it is. It doesn't really matter. Is he going to be good enough to help Hank? Is Hank going to get back to his regular level? And if he isn't, for the Rangers, sure enough, you got Kevin Shattenkirk, but you lost Derek Stepan, so you better hope that Mika Zibanejad could be a first-line center.
Yeah, I like Zibanejad, but I don't know if he's a first-line center. The point is, we're not a Rangers podcast. We're not going to get
into
that.
We don't like the Rangers very much.
No. But the point being, I think you hit the nail on the head. You're saying that there are some question marks with the Rangers, so I could potentially see them jumping up into that fourth spot. I think we both can. But right now, I see 5 in the second wild card spot, which likely leads to a first-round matchup against the Penguins, which could be very, very scary, but we're getting ahead of ourselves here.
Bring it on. Bring it. I don't care. I'm not scared of the Penguins. Bring it on.
Wow. Mitch Anderson, here we are on September 13th, is already hyped and ready for the playoffs.
I am so dialed in right now. I am so dialed in. No, I'm not scared of the Penguins. I'm not scared of anyone. I think we could take anyone in a series. I think we can. I really do. Like, we took the Penguins, which had ostensibly the same team. If anything, they had a better defense. We took them almost to the brink just a couple of years back. And now they're a worse team this year. Worse team than they were then. They still have Crosby. They still have Malkin and Kessel. But their defense is what? Justin Schultz? Okay, great. After that, and then, sure enough, they have Matt Murray. Okay, Matt Murray is pretty good. Absolutely. But we can still take them. I think we could take them. Would it go to game 7? Probably. Could they take us in 5? Sure, they probably could. But we could also take them in 5. So I'm not scared of the Penguins.
I can't believe my ears. Mitch, the amount of optimism flowing through my headphones right now.
Yeah.
I love it. There's too much pessimism on the internet these days. We have to provide some sort of positivity, some positive outlet for Islanders fans. And you hype me up right there.
We'll see what happens after game number 1 of the season with Brock Nelson misses on a back check. But so far, the optimism is that its peak is at the top of the mountain. Can't get any higher than this.
Yeah. We'll just wait for the first time John Tavares breaks his stick in overtime, which leads to a game-winning goal, and we'll just throw my laptop off the wall.
To bring me back down, careening back down to earth here.
And we're back.
Hey, we're back. On that note, let's go to our third little short topic before we get to our most fantastic guest, and it's a little bit of a downer in a way. The Isles playing at Nassau Coliseum, or whatever it's called now. I know it's like
NYCB.
Yeah, but it's... Anyways, it's really long. It's the Nassau Coliseum, just by another name. Gary Bettman came out and said that it makes no sense for the Islanders to play at the Nassau Coliseum because apparently in the deal, so the group that owns the Barclays Center also owns the Nassau Coliseum. And part of the deal with the Nassau Coliseum is that they are to host four regular season Islanders games there, which they're not doing. And the penalty for that is they have to pay the county $1 million, which I'm sure is nothing for them. But still, that's $1 million that they would like to have. So he, being Bettman, was asked, what do you think of that? What do you think of them, the Islanders, playing four games at the Coliseum? And he's like, I don't think that makes a lot of sense. What do you think?
I think Belmont is the most logical explanation here, but I don't want to do it, Mitch, but I think I'm going to go down this road because it's going to be even worse when we do the show next week, because I am going to the preseason game on Sunday at the Coliseum.
Oh, boy.
And I'm going to tailgate, and it's going to make me miss playing at the Coliseum, and it's going to rope me right back in to wanting them to play there. I see myself going down that road already, so I'm just going to skip and foreshadow to next week and me just say, I hope it happens, but I don't necessarily think that it's a long-term answer, no.
Okay, fair enough. That's fair. Well, you know what? You got teams here in Canada taking seats out of their arena. The Senators just took out 1,500 seats. So, like, they're still only at 16,000, so it's still well above what they have at the NYCB, if that's what they're calling it. I don't know what it's called anymore. The Coliseum. There's only, like, what, 13,000 and change that they can have, and they can add, quote-unquote, 2,000 if they really want to. So we'll see. Like, it's possible, I guess. I just, like you said, they couldn't fill it before. Why would they be able to fill it now? It doesn't make any sense. All of a sudden, the community is going, oh, whoops, we missed the Islanders. We really want them back. Okay, sure, I guess that's possible. But are you going to buy tickets? Well, I don't know. They didn't buy them before. Why would they buy them now?
I know I would, but I don't know if I could speak for everyone. I didn't have a season ticket plan. I'm 22. I'm a kid.
Shame.
I could barely afford gas. No, I'm just kidding. I'm doing fine. We're not
in today's economy. I can't afford anything.
Here we go. No, but I would go to, well, the last year at the Coliseum, I probably went to like 10 games. But at the Barclays, I'm a handful, maybe like three a year the last 2 years.
Yeah, but it's further for you, right?
It is. A lot of it's convenience. I'm a 10-minute drive from the Coliseum. The game could end at 9:30. I could walk from my seat, get in my car, and drive home and be home by 10:15, the latest.
Yeah. Now, I hear you.
I got to get on a train. Not so much fun. Not as convenient, especially, you know, for those who work on Long Island, it's even tougher to then, you know, get off work and go into the Barclays. So.
I could empathize and I can sympathize because here in Ottawa, the arena isn't anywhere near to downtown. And everyone works downtown. It's a government town, so everyone works in the literal downtown core. So getting out to the west end of the city with the traffic takes about an hour just to get there. And we don't have light rail. We have buses and we have cars. That's it. So they're all using the same route to get there. It doesn't change anything. You're just paying a little bit less and having it crammed with more people in. So it really sucks to get to Ottawa games, and thus I don't go to Ottawa games. Also because it's Ottawa. Who cares about Ottawa? It's not the Islanders. I try to go when the Islanders come, but it's still a pain in the patootie to get out there.
Okay, wow. Okay, that I didn't know.
Yeah, but it's essentially the same situation, just Canadian. Just a bit more snow.
Just a bit more snow. I'm glad we're playing into all the Canadian stereotypes in this episode.
Oh, we'll get them out there. I don't know what other ones are left. Maple syrup, beaver tails, flannel shirts, lumberjacks. There you go. We got them out. We're good to go. Do you want to get to our most fantastic guest?
Yes. Up next, we will have our very special guest, Rob from Isles Blog.
And we're back, and we'd like to welcome to Eyes on Isles podcast, Rob Taub from It's Isles Blog, right? Islesblog.com?
Yes, it is.
Beauty. It's great to have you on. Oh, man, we're going to get to some discussions here. So, first off, welcome.
Thank you.
Second off, you started this series of, I'm going to call it 30 for 30, Rob's 30 for 30 on Isles Blog, where you every day you go through an Islanders-related question, and you try to answer it, and you answer it well, from what I can, from what I've seen so far. I think you've gone 8 or 9 of them.
Today was 8. Tomorrow will be 9.
Right. So first question off the top, why did you go down this deep, dark Islanders question hole?
Well, I looked at it this way. After last year, you know, there was going to be a lot of questions surrounding the team. And this summer, not a lot of them got answered except for the addition of Jordan Eberle and maybe trading Travis Hamonic. But I think with me, once I saw the calendar turn to September, you know, you start to get that itch that hockey season's coming back. Mm-hmm. And with this team, you know, there's so many things that are going to be going on around this team this year, whether it's the Tavares contract situation, Eberle fitting in, who's going to be the number one starter in goal. Is Pulak or Pelech going to be, you know, the number four defenseman? So there's a lot of questions. And I thought, you know, maybe, you know, for the 30 days leading up to the season, I'll throw out one question. And I don't think I've tried to answer them. I think I've just tried to give insight onto whether they can be answered or how they can be answered. So, I mean, my thing was, you know what, I wanted to contribute a little bit more to the blog. You know, during the off season, it gets very slow. I mean, my Twitter profile is very, my Twitter profile, I keep going and going, whatever I can find, you know, to see what sticks. You know, a lot of it's been mostly about Tavares the past few weeks, but now we're starting to get into, you know, rookie camp, training camp, and there's a lot of questions that are going to, you know, be answered over the next few weeks. But for me, this season, this is a very important season for this club because they missed the playoffs last year by a point. They had expectations coming into last season off their first playoff round win in 23 years. So I think for me, it was trying to see which type of question would people like to hear and like to see answered, or whether. Or which type of question do they think needs to be answered?
Right, you kind of took my question, the words out of my mouth for the second one, but that was a great answer. I'm going to kind of reword it a little bit for you, but I guess would you say that was your goal more to just start the conversation, or to like you said, just raise questions, or were you more interested in, I guess, the answers, like trying to figure out like, okay, why did X happen? Or did you just want to, you know, ask the question to, you know, start up the conversation in the tough, you know, off season?
I feel for me, I was more interested in raising the question because, you know, there's on this team, there's so many, you know, intangibles, and these guys, you know, there's something about them, whether it was this year, whether it's going to this year or how they played last year or even in the past few years, you know, consider Brock Nelson, even Ryan Strome. If he was still going to be here, I would have probably done something on him. You know, I hope he does well in Edmonton. But like, there's always questions, especially about certain guys that I think need to be need to be said. For me, like I said, I feel like I needed to raise the questions because it's a starting point. It's something to talk about. You know, now that hockey season's about to become in full swing, people will start to think about these questions and whether or not they're going to be relevant toward whether the Islanders become a playoff team or they, you know, take another turn, which hopefully they don't.
Fingers crossed they don't. Oh my God.
Fingers crossed. But there's certain things I wanted to question myself. Because as a young aspiring journalist and someone who I'm getting, you know, emails asking for my insight from the legendary Stan Fischler about what I think about the Islanders, I just thought to myself, okay, you know, maybe I could do something on my own while also giving him my insight and, you know, see where it goes. So I think for me, it was a bit of, you know, I wanted to do something on my own, whether it was when it was raising questions. And the way I watch this team, the way I follow this team, I mean, I don't want to say I can still say I'm a fan of this team, even though I'm trying to be unbiased as you become a more professional journalist. But for me, it was raising the questions just to see, you know, what people thought, how people think they should be answered, how people think they will be answered by the player or by the coaching staff. So it was a little combination of everything.
Okay. So we're now 10 days in.
Eight days.
Okay. We're 8 days in. What is the biggest, or what have you found out so far? What's your favorite question that you've asked and tried to answer at this point? And we'll get into a few other ones, because there's some that I personally have a big stake in and I really enjoy your take on. But what's your favorite so far?
I think my favorite was, I'm trying to remember, I've written eight. I'm trying to remember every single one of them, because it feels like, you know, as you go day by day, you start to forget, you know, mm-hmm. the first one, the second one.
I forgot what I did yesterday.
Yeah, that's basically for me. I think for me, it was there's some I haven't got to. I think the one I did yesterday with Anders Lee.
Okay.
With the 40 goal score. And the reason why is I saw, you know, watching him last year, after he scored those two goals in Los Angeles, he looked like it felt like his career took a turn for the better. I mean, you saw the confidence building and everything, and all the chemistry he was building with Tavares and Bailey, and even all his work on the power play. He just looked like a bulldog. He was a man possessed the way he was playing after he finally got that monkey off his back. And I think for me this year, I know that Eberle's the biggest addition, and Tavares is Tavares. You still have Brock Nelson, but now it's Anders Lee, who I feel for me, he's going to become the Islanders' preliminary goal scorer for the next 3 to 4 years. And I think this year could be the start of it. I mean, last year, yes, with the 34 goals, but I think this year, I mean, with the addition of Eberle and his chemistry with Tavares, this guy could score, you know, 40 to 45 goals. There's no reason he can't. I mean, yes, teams are going to do their homework on him, especially with the way they saw how he played last year and how much of a presence he has. But I think for me, it's just all the combination of he's going into this year without any pressure. I mean, he basically took all the pressure off himself when he scored 34 goals last year. From my standpoint, I'm expecting more from him, especially now, because I think that first line, depending on how all the other lines shake out, that first line could be top three or top five in the NHL this year. I mean, the amount of skill, the amount of speed, the amount of offensive talent, I think that line has a chance to be something special. There's something the Islanders haven't had in a while. I'm talking about going back to, you know, maybe 15 years when you had Pekka and Yashin, and I forgot who else was on that line. I would have to go back and look. But I think for Lee, this is just the beginning for him. And I wanted to say that I believe he can score 40 goals. I mean, he's got the mentality and he's got the confidence. He's got all the right tools. So I think for me, he scored 34. No way he can't score 40, especially this year, especially with all the weapons they put around him.
Right. And I'm glad you brought up that first line, because I think this past season in either January or February, I can't remember exactly when, but I wrote how even last year's version of the top line was underrated and undervalued. And as I compared it to the Pittsburgh Penguins top line from the previous year as a Stanley Cup champion. And I wanted to talk to you about somebody else who was on that top line. His name is Josh Bailey. Islanders fans love to hate him. Mitch just put it in his bio today that he's a Josh Bailey fanboy. So he's going to love this conversation.
Already in love.
So I guess our first question is, because you seem like you're pretty high on Bailey. He's a great two-way player. And, you know, we agree with you there. But how does he, or is there a way that he fails this year? Or do you can see him putting up another good year?
I could see him putting up a good year. Sorry about that. And just to throw a stat out there, after Doug Weight took over in that span in January last year, that first line of Bailey, Tavares, and Lee combined for 50 points in I think it was a 13 or 15 game stretch. I'm trying to remember, but I think shameless plug for Josh Bailey. But I think for him, the only way he fails this year is maybe he lets the contract, this is going to be his last year on the on Long Island. He's mm-hmm. grown up here. He's developed here. He's raising a family here. And on the ice, he's become one of the key cogs in the Islanders, in the Islander core, especially the forward core. So I think for him to fail this year, I think it would have to be like, he would have to have a total like mental breakdown the way he plays. And just, if he just can't, you know, he can't do the right, if he just doesn't do the right things. I think that's completely wrong. I think he can have another fantastic year this year, not only because he's got confidence, just like Lee, he's got confidence coming into this season, coming off the best. He's coming off the best year of his career. He had 54 points. I mean, there was nothing more you could have asked for last year from this guy. And people will hate me for this, and they did for a lot of the year last year. He was their best forward for at least a half a season.
You're right.
Until John Tavares began to turn it on, and until, you know, honestly, Lee kept scoring goals, but Bailey was doing it all. I mean, I remember one game in Detroit where he was all over the place, and he was basically the sole factor for why they won that game. But I think with Bailey, he's going to have some new toys to play with. He's going to have possibly Josh Hosang. He might have Matthew Barzal. He might have Anthony Bavuia. With Bailey's style of play, I think it will mesh well with the kind of game that all three of those guys bring to the table. And yes, he can, you know, he could still feed Brock Nelson, you know, how many times during a game, and see if Nelson, you know, fails on a breakaway or actually tries to score a goal. But I think with Bailey, he's got that. I think he has that itch this year. And I think, like I said, it's a contract year for him. He's going to be a UFA after this year. So he's going to be looking for another contract. And while that's not the biggest need for him, he wants to win, you know, just like John, just like Tavares and the rest of the guys, he wants to win. And we saw last year, you know, we saw that mentality from him, that when he was on his game, he was very, very difficult to play against. And I think he's going to, like I said, he's going to have some new guys to mesh with, but he's still got chemistry. If they need to throw him up there with Tavares. If they need to put him on the second line, I think him and Josh Hosang would make a fantastic two-thirds of a second line. I think that would become one of the most dangerous second lines in the entire league, depending on who's at center with them. But I think with Bailey, he brings it all. He brings a little bit of everything to the table. I mean, he's definitely the Islanders' best defensive forward. Definitely no argument there. He was last year. I think he will be this year, because I believe he'll either be mixed in the second line or the third line. And if he's on the third line, your third line is basically your checking line behind the fourth line, which is the grind and pound line. So the third line, it's a checking line. And other than you have Nikolai Kuhlman, who's going to be on the fourth line, Bailey will be that guy on the third line. He's so defensively responsible, and he kind of covers up the other mistakes, the mistakes on the for the guys on his line who make them. So I think
I'm key on having Bailey hit that second line role, like you were saying, with Hosang and Barzal.
I don't think so.
It seems like the best fit for me to have him there. I can see him on the third line, because then again, when you look at like the Islanders' depth chart, if your second line is Barzal, Bailey, or even Barzal and Hosang, and then player X, that leaves Nelson and Ladd on that third line. That's still a pretty good third line if you put Bailey on there as well.
I think it'd be a solid third line.
My thing is,
I don't think the Islanders want Brock Nelson to be the third line center. I think they want him to be the second line center. And we're not going to start getting into Brock Nelson, because that's a whole nother conversation that could be an hour's worth.
Oh boy.
But I think with Bailey, yes, he can be in that second line role with Hosang and probably Andrew Ladd, but I think he'd be better suited on the third line, because he's the guy, like those bottom two lines of any NHL team, they have to have some player who can be the defensive forward that everyone can lean on when certain things need to happen. I'm losing my train of thought. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
No, but I think with Bailey, I think he'd be better off on the third line. I would love to see him and Barzal as a 1-2 on the third line, because I think Nelson, like I said, Nelson will be on the second line, will be the second line center. And if Barzal makes the team, I would love to see him on the third line with Josh Bailey. I think those two would be fantastic together.
Yeah.
I think they would really, I think their games would really complete. I think both of them would complete each other's games. You know, Barzal's got he's got the flash, he's got the offensive mind. And then you have Bailey, who's got the defense, he's got the defensive skill. I mean, it's a solid 1-2 punch, whether you think about it or not.
Right. Yeah, I agree. I'd like to see Bailey Barzal together. I think we differ on whether first line or second line, second line or third line. But I think come the end of the day, we're both happy if they're together and they're getting decent playing time. And we're both high on Bailey.
Not to get off topic, but Craig Carton just resigned from WFAN.
Wow. Oh, wow. That is huge.
Yeah,
that's breaking news on the Eyes on Piles podcast.
Wow. Eyes on Piles?
I'm sad.
I can't speak today. That is...
That's sad.
Wow, what a day for New York radio. My goodness.
I guess that's what happens when he doesn't care about hockey.
I suppose. True. Yeah, that's what happens to you. Make that a lesson to every budding future broadcaster. Care about hockey or else it's going to bite you. Yeah.
I'm just a little stunned.
That's stunning.
I love listening to him and Boomer argue all the time. That was the best.
Boomer will have to find someone else to argue with. He can bring in Matt Martin. There you go. He can argue with
his
future potential son-in-law, I think. I don't know if they're engaged or not, but yeah. Let's go back to the Isles and talk about Doug Weight.
Sure.
And so what do you expect from Doug Weight in his first full season and having a full season under him, having an actual camp to have? What are your expectations from him? Because he went in his 40 games, he went 24-12 and 9 or 24-12 and 4. So like that's pretty good.
It is good. Well, just to start off, a few weeks ago, I was on a phone call. I was on a conference call. I was listening to Doug Weight talk to season ticket holders, and he went through his entire process on, you know, what he experienced the first go around as head coach over the 40 games he got to coach. And then he talked about getting ready for this season. He went through a number of interviews and talked to a whole bunch of former coaches, general managers, you name it. I think for Weight, I think what I saw last year, and yes, they did miss the playoffs by a point. There were games where he looked like he couldn't, he looked like he wasn't ready. He looked like he was unprepared. And that's going to come with the territory because yes, he was an assistant coach, but he's the bench boss now. And going back to last season, I mean, he was probably under a little bit of pressure because he wasn't familiar with his surroundings with being a head coach. You know, it's a totally different ball game from being an assistant coach. I mean, yeah, you probably prepare the same, but there's definitely a difference. And I think with Dougie, I think last year, the second half of last year, you saw the good he could bring out in players.
Yeah.
That there were certain guys who maybe just he couldn't get motivated. And I feel like going into this year, and these are the exact words he said on the conference call. He said that over the past few years, going into training camp, like it seemed like it got a little bit stale. Like, you know, you had the same players, you had the same philosophy and all that. And, you know, there was up until last year, there was only a few, there was like not really many fresh faces. I mean, last year you brought in Ladd, you brought in Chimera, you brought in Seidenberg. So I think this year, this training camp, it's going to be Doug Weight is going to run it the way he wants to run it. And I think bringing in Buchberger and Richardson and Gomez. And I think Gomez is his best hire. Cause I've heard nothing but praise for him, not only from the players, but you know, you hear from the media too.
Yeah.
But I think this season, I think he's going to be more prepared on what to expect. I think he's going to push some guys' buttons that maybe Jack Capuano didn't try to do in the past. And remember, we brought up Brock Nelson. He's what's called? He's number one on that list.
Oh, I would hope so.
You know, Wade doesn't want to name names, and you know, you never want to call out a player. In public, but you could tell in the back, you could, you know, get that sense that, yeah, he was talking about Brock Nelson, mm-hmm. and he has every right to be. You know, we're not going to start bashing Brock Nelson, you know, for all the mishaps he has, because he still scores 20 goals a year, and you're not going to find that many other places. But I think with Wade this year, I think he's going to be more comfortable. I think him and Johnny, I think Cappy and Johnny had a good relationship, but I think Dougie and Johnny have a much more balanced, and they understand each other. I mean, Tavares lived with Wade when he first started out.
That's
and
right. That's right.
They've grown closer and closer as the years have gone. Now, it's, you know, this is Doug Wade's team, and this is now this has been John Tavares' team for a while. But I think now with the new faces, you lose Travis Hamonic, unfortunately. But I think with Dougie, he's still a bit of a young guy. So I think he'll be able to relate to guys like Eberle and Pelech and Pulak and Mayfield. And, you know, he still has four solid lines that he can mix around, which I don't think he'll do very much, because I think with Capuano,
it was way too much of that.
It was way too much of that. And I think it messed up a lot of chemistry that could have been formed by a lot of guys.
Yeah.
Because I feel like the first line, unless something completely drastic needs, unless a drastic change needs to be made, Doug Wade should not change that first line at all this year. Because it will probably be Eberle, Tavares, and Lee. And I think that's why he's got so many options to play with on the second and third lines. And I think he's going to get the most out of Josh Hosang. I think he's able to connect to the younger player, like especially the rookies. I think that's what's really going to push the Islanders over the top, because if all three, and I, you know, it might be impossible for all three, but if Barzal, Bavuye, and Hosang are all on the team, I think that bodes well for Wade, because he could teach them how to play the game right, and he could teach them, you know, when they make mistakes, you know, don't let it bother you. But, you know, still, you got to, you know, just play the – just get back to basics. I think he's – I think Wade's in – I think this is going to be a very interesting year for Wade. I mean, it seemed like he wanted – it seemed like the Islanders were grooming him for a long time, especially when Capuano was let go. And you kind of could – you could tell from the way Snow was talking about him that they were grooming him to be the next head coach. And Dougie was a little hesitant from – I remember the last day of the season, I was sent a message saying it was Doug Wade's choice if he wanted to stay, if he wanted to be the head coach or not. I mean, he didn't say yes, he didn't say no, before the season was over. And then, you know, a day later, he's the head coach. So, but I think going into this year, he's gonna do a lot of good things. I think he's gonna revamp the power play. I think that's why he brought in Gomez. And I said that was a very, very savvy move. I think with the penalty kill, I think he won't mix around the penalty kill as much unless, you know, things start to take a turn. And I just think overall he's going to be more comfortable this year. And I think if he has I know, you know, as a head coach, you're not supposed to have a relaxed mentality, but I think with a team like this where, you know, you don't want to put too much pressure on them. Yes, they missed the playoffs last year, but for them to be a winning team, you got to know when to push the right buttons and when to lay off.
That's right.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Outside of Josh Hosang, because we all are very excited to watch Josh Hosang.
Can I just say one thing about Hosang?
Go for it, man.
And I said it. I said this. I actually emailed. I said this in my stuff to Stan yesterday. He will be in the Calder conversation. There is no doubt in my mind. He is going to be the guy. He is going to be the next big thing on this team behind Tavares. He really is. He's got the charisma. He's got the flair. He's got the ability. And we all saw if he doesn't, you know, if the first line's not going, you throw him up there with John Tavares and
something will go.
They can make magic together. He'll be one of the weapons on the power play. I'm sure. I mean, I can't see where he's not going to be on the power play. And I think you'll also see him get some penalty kill minutes because you saw we saw the speed that he has. And not many young guys really have that where, you know, he can get on a break, you know, right off the bat and can change the face of the game.
It's the speed and the puck retention ability that he has, right? Like, well, especially on a penalty kill, if you can, like you said, rush that puck up and maintain control of it, oh man, you kill a good 20 seconds easy right there.
Well, the one thing I'm looking forward to seeing from Hosang this year, and it's not only his play with the puck, because I still think when he came up last year, we still saw he was holding on to the puck way too long. And that's not going to work in this league. And I think he'll work on that. I think Waite's going to really, really bear down on him on that. I think Gomez and Buchberger are both going to do the same. They're all going to do that for him. But for me, it's what was it? I forgot. It wasn't his play with the puck. It was he's got to shoot more. And I think on that second line, if he's playing with Barzal or Bailey or Ladd or Nelson, I understand Hosang's a playmaker, but I saw a lot of hesitation to shoot last year. And I know he wants to make the extra pass, but this guy's got to shoot. He's got great offensive ability. And I think he's got a great shot. And I think now this year we have to see it way more. I think with the power play, I feel like I said last year, I thought they would learn to set up Tavares in the Ovechkin style. I think Hosang should be in that position. I really think that if he's going to have success and if the Islanders power play is going to be successful this year for the first time in forever, Hosang's got to be the guy. He's got to be the catalyst on the man advantage.
Yeah, I hear you on that. He's just a beaut in every sense of the word. Anything he does offensively, maybe not defensively, I guess, but on social media, with the fans, with the general public, he's just, he's amazing in every sense of the word. I can't believe we got him, and we got him at 28th overall. It's just, it feels amazing.
You use the word beaut. I got to start using that more. I love that hockey term. I really
A big thing up here, up north. Everything's a beaut up here.
You know, in America, like here down on Long Island, and I say it with the most thick Long Island accent, we use the word stud. We usually use the word stud or just, he's a beast.
Yeah, that's fair.
He absolutely is. Well, Rob, we definitely want to thank you for coming on. I thought we had a great conversation, and maybe we'll have you on again sometime. That'd be great.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
You got anything you want to plug before you leave?
Just you know, shoot me a follow at rtaub. You know, I'm one of the most, I'm one of those guys on Isles Twitter that tries to not piss people off while trying to piss people off. But, you know, I have my two cents. Some people agree, some people disagree. But also follow Isles Blog. You know, the coverage that we do, it's, you know, it's great. Not many teams have a blog like that where, you know, you get a little bit of everything. You don't just get the on-the-ice stuff. You get the off-the-ice stuff. You get a little bit of fun in there. I mean, we're only shameless plug. We're only 600 followers away from 10K. So if you want to shoot a follow, there you go.
Right on. Okay. Thanks a lot, man.
All right, boys. Have a good one.
All right. That was Rob from Isles Blog. Some good takes, some good Bailey love. Always love me some Bailey love. Some good views on Hosang. I wrote last week, if it was last week, it may have even been a little bit longer than that Hosang is going to be in the Calder conversation. So I'm with him on that. I'm totally with him on that. It doesn't make sense for him not to be unless he regresses, which I don't think is going to happen, or that the field is incredibly underrated and there's a player in there that we just forgot about.
Are missing? Yeah, I don't know.
We'll see. But do you want to get to our little social segment?
Yes, and we have so much to talk about week in the social.
First, if you want your tweets read out or you want to reach out to us in any way, shape, or form, make sure to use the hashtag IslesPod. That's ISLESPOD, like the band.
There you go.
I thought you would laugh at that one. No, that wasn't a good joke. That was a really bad joke.
There's a band called Pod?
P-O-D.
P-O-D.
You've never heard of P-O-D? Oh, man. We've got some education later on tonight, my friend.
When are they from?
When?
the late 90s, like the Incubus era.
Okay. I was a toddler at that time.
Oh my God. Am I that old? Oh. I just saw like the white hair fall out of my hair.
I probably
as you were saying that.
Your beard's looking a little gray now, Mitch.
Oh God, what are these wrinkles? Look at the liver spot.
That's embarrassing for me. I feel like I should. If I heard one of their songs, I probably know it.
Probably.
But as for the social segment, yes. I as the millennial, I'll take
there you go. Yeah,
the hands here for the social segment. Josh Hosang joined the On the Bench fellas. Oh. And in their latest epi, which, phenomenal.
Start to finish.
The acting from them, Josh Hosang's character fit in perfectly with that.
Mm-hmm.
When they said they sent us the wrong 6-6, I lost it.
What I'm worried about is that, so he ends the video by body checking, is it Ollie? I think he body checks Ollie and says, don't keep your head down, kid, or never keep your heads down, kids. I am worried that the second he gets checked by, like, I don't know, Tom Wilson, the first thing that's going to be repeated to him is, don't keep your head down, kid. He's never going to hear
that.
It's
just set up. Yeah, that's going to be chirped at all year long. But I have confidence Josh Hosang will have a good comeback, or he'll just dangle around Tom Wilson and just put one behind Holpe.
Mm. God, that's going to be amazing. I can't wait for that to happen.
But, again, you wrote it the other day. It's been the summer of Josh Hosang.
Mm-hmm.
We are all eating it up, and that video was just another example of
we're just living in his world. Amazing.
Yeah, he's pretty much running it, for especially on the aisle spectrum.
Yeah, so. Mos Def.
And then this was actually from a Yankee Rays game, but the YesUV Twitter account tweeted it out, so I'm going to use this to talk about. This might be my new favorite person since
so Ken, amazing.
The thumbs down guy we're talking about. This might be my new favorite person since like Ken Bone.
He looks just like Ken Bone.
He does. It's phenomenal. But you saw, if you haven't seen the picture, it's basically a guy, a little hefty, with a white beard, and someone on the Yankees, or it might have been someone on the Rays. I don't remember. Someone hits a
something
home run.
Happened. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's just standing there with his thumb down, and there's like a screen cap. It's the perfect thing. So, Mitch, what I wanted to do with this segment, do you want to go back and forth with like some good captions if we would make like an Isles meme out of this?
Yep. Okay. Yeah, I got a few. I wrote them down today at work, and then when I left work, I was too excited to leave work, and I didn't bring him with me. So it's all off of the old noodle noggin, buddy.
Okay. You want to go first?
Sure. My fave is when, so thumbs down emoji guy, whenever someone says, Josh Bailey isn't good at hockey.
Wow. You took the first one on my list was Mitch when someone says Josh Bailey is bad at hockey.
I just wish I had a portion of his weight. My 148 pound frame could use a little bit of heft.
Oh man. I do have another one.
Yeah.
Me when Garth signs another grinder.
Isles Twitter when they saw another Bailey was signed to a PTO today.
And then I just wrote down JF Brubay's 2016-17 season.
I got a few more. So when
rattle them off.
Florida fans say that Trocheck was tripped to that.
Okay.
Whenever someone mentions Tom Wilson in a sentence, to that, that's a double thumbs down. I had another one. B-Comp, whenever he hears someone say Tavares should be traded, he's all over that he's thumbs downing in like a very salty face too. He's not showing the same face as the thumbs down guy. He's very, very mad about the fact that he's got a thumbs down this again. That's all I have. I ran the gambit on my thumbs down without my list in front of me.
I mean, I think we came up with some pretty good captions. I was happy with that. What else we got? Oh, yesterday there was a picture tweeted out from the Islanders golf outing. It was Lee, Boychuk, and Chimera.
Yes.
And Mitch, Jace, I asked my lovely girlfriend, who actually is somewhat like sports inclined, she knows what's going on. So I said, if I didn't tell you, how old would you think this person is, zooming in on Jason Chimera? And she said 50. Whoa. And I don't think that's a bad guess based off the picture.
No. He still looks good. It's not like he looks bad. It's just he looks older than he is. He's still well put together. He's still fit. He's just got some grizzled beard. There's a lot of gray there. A few little crow's feet by the eyes. He looks aged.
Yeah, he looks... My friend actually said this to me, and I was like, wow, this is a little bit too weird. But you know, you're not a big football guy, so I don't know if this reference is going to go over your head or not.
Probably.
He looked like Brett Favre at the end of his career.
With or sans Wrangler jeans. I know Brett Favre. I got you there, but...
Okay.
Don't start talking about being Marshawn Lynch and not mention Skittles. That's all I know.
Okay. So you know a little bit what's going on.
I know a little bit of what's going on.
But I mean, he looks, if you told me he was between 45 and 50 and sold car insurance for a living, I'd believe you.
Yeah, totally. He looks like the guy who's kind of like, can we have a selfie, guys? And they all said, sure, why not? Turns out he's actually part of the team, and he's probably like a father figure to most of these guys because he's probably the most rounded individual on the team. He's a seasoned pro. He's been through the quote-unquote trenches of the NHL season. He's probably a great guy to have around. He just doesn't look as young as the other guys do.
No, he definitely does not. That's all I had from the social.
I had one last one. Yeah.
Ooh, that's good.
So there's a picture that went around just before we came on, and it was John Tavares in a cart on the golf course with John Ledecky. Yes. And Ledecky looks like he's having the time of his life, and Tavares is clearly enjoying the fact, like, yes, I am glad, boss man, that you are having a good time. Now, may you sign my check, please? Just as matter of fact as he can. I'm sure Tavares is having a good time. I'm sure he's enjoying himself. It just looks like Ledecky is on another planet of enjoyment, and Tavares is just kind of, not begrudgingly, but not fully along for the ride.
I just pulled up the picture because I had to look at it again. John is smiling from ear to ear.
John he L, looks, not John,
John
T.
L. Yeah, J-O-N, sorry.
Okay, yeah.
While Tavares is just looking like his usual self. Like
his programming is trying to compute what's going on in front of him.
Yeah. Did you see? There was actually a video, I forgot who tweeted out, of Tavares taking a golf swing and hitting the absolute crap out of the ball.
No.
So he must be, well, that's another thing we could have talked about. He somehow can compute to hit golf balls too. Tavares is a very, very highly programmed robot.
I'm sure he's like a fantastic athlete. You give him any sport to play and I'm sure he could dominate it. He could probably play football. He probably could play basketball, you know, kind of like a Curry, Isaiah Thomas role. He could probably play tennis. I know he can play lacrosse. I know he can play hockey, and clearly he can play golf. I think if you give him any sort of tool to play a sport, he can dominate it. He's just like that perfect athlete.
The kid that I was jealous of in gym class.
Yeah, because I was like minorly good at things. I just didn't have the physique to back it up.
Same. I was the tall kid, though, so I did get picked pretty early.
I was not. You were the guy I was jealous of. That's all I have. You good to go?
Yep, that was pretty much all that I had for this episode.
Perfect. So make sure to go to the site, eyesonisles.com. Did I say that right? I'll say it again, eyesonisles.com. Make sure to go there. Read all their stuff. It's a beautiful, fantastic Islanders blog. I sounded like Donald Trump there with beautiful and fantastic. I almost even did like the finger gestures that he does. I think I got his mannerisms down. Probably not. I don't know. Follow us on Twitter at EyesOnIslesFS. Follow us on Facebook. And make sure to rate and review the show. Also, listen to the show. That would be nice. We want to reach as many Islanders fans as we can. And with the rates and review system on iTunes, you can help us do that. So you have a role. We want you to help us reach more Isles fans. Matt, if you got nothing else, have yourself a good night.
You too, Mitch. I'll see you next week.
See you next week, man.